I ought not to abandon you at such a busy time, Vicar. Mrs. Baker bustled toward the front door with an enthusiasm that belied genuine remorse. The holidays see you run ragged, but my Eunice has all those children and another one due any day. Tell me I'm forgiven. Peter Sorensen was good at telling people they were forgiven, as any vicar should be, and the peace and quiet Mrs. Baker's annual absence provided was in truth a much-treasured holiday gift. You are not only forgiven, Peter said, mustering his kindly vicar smile. You are wished Godspeed and my love to your family. He kissed Mrs. Baker's cheek in deference to the mistletoe she'd hung in the foyer, picked up her valise, and escorted her to the waiting coach. I've never travelled in such style, she said, as a liveried footman lashed her valise to the boot. My grandchildren will think the Queen is arrived. They will be more excited to know it's their dear granny bearing gingerbread, newly knitted socks, and family tales of Christmases past. Though the Rothaven ducal travelling coach did qualify as a luxury barge on wheels, Peter had asked to borrow it on Mrs. Baker's behalf because the public stage was a penance not to be borne in winter's darkest weeks, and if some small part of Peter wanted to know for a certainty that Mrs. B. was well and truly off to York for a few weeks, well, no matter. A man climbed down from the box while the horses stomped in the snow. He was slim, dark-haired, tallish, and attired in the height of winter fashion. Mr. Wentworth! Peter bowed rather than extend a hand. He barely knew Ned Wentworth and would not presume any sort of familiarity with a member of a ducal household. Good day. Vicar, Mrs. Baker. Mr. Wentworth bowed over the lady's hand, which resulted in a woman old enough to be Peter's mamma, simpering. I hitched a ride into the village rather than trudge both directions in this snow. I thought winter in London was a tribulation, but Yorkshire. Worse than Scotland, some people say, Mrs. Baker remarked. The Vikings were right at home here. I must be off, for the light doesn't last this time of year. She dipped a hasty curtsy, and Mr. Wentworth handed her into the coach. The coachman saluted with his whip, and the vehicle jingled and clattered down the snowy street. I was tempted to nip into York, Mr. Wentworth said, to go someplace where buildings come in a proper batch, not isolated in a sea of snow. I never thought I'd miss the stink of London's coal smoke or the crowded walkways, but I do. The silence alone this far from civilization is enough to drive a man daft. The Bible listed commandments, while a vicar developed a list of ailments of the human heart. Homesickness figured somewhere near the top. Come in for a cup of tea, Mr. Wentworth. Give the shops an hour to get their parlour stoves roaring. Mrs. Baker always fills the larder with holiday treats before she departs. Wentworth looked skeptical. I truly do have errands to run, Vicar. I suspect the ladies at Linley Vale wanted me out from underfoot while the decorating got underway. Lord Nathaniel is trying to help, and Lord Stephen is making suggestions, while the footmen have all developed bad hearing. I was one dunderheaded male too many. That was a falsehood, and right now, watching the Wentworth ducal coach trot out of the village, Peter was inclined to name it as such. You are not a Wentworth by blood, so you banished yourself from what you regarded as a family undertaking. Forget the tea. Let's have a tot to ward off the chill. Frequent doses of wassail are how we get through our winters here. Wassail? Wassail, toddies, a nip from the flask. Everybody thinks Yorkshiremen are tough. We're more determined than tough, and we've learned to make our peace with the elements. Inside with you, Mr. Wentworth, and we will see what Mrs. Baker has left me in the way of sweets. Jane said I shouldn't underestimate you. Jane being Her Grace of Walden, a formidable woman who made duchessing look much easier than it was. But then Jane was married to Quinton, Duke of Walden, and compared to being that fellow's wife, wearing a tiara was doubtless a Sunday stroll. You need not estimate me at all, Peter said, leading the way up the vicarage's steps. I'm a humble country parson living a placid existence in the bucolic splendor of rural nowhere. He'd meant that observation as a jest, but it had come out sounding a bit forlorn, whiny. Pour me a bracer, Mr. Wentworth said, and you can be my new best friend. I really am not accustomed to this cold.